Can I give the 1 minute warning? 1 minute? As it gets quiet instantly. Thank you. My kids don't like hearing my voice though. They hear that voice, they're like, oh, I'm in trouble. Pastor? Oh. Pastor Schmidt? My name is Jim Buskey, and I'm pastor and executive director of a ministry called Lighthouse Youth Center. I get the fancy term executive director. That means everything falls on your desks, and you have to deal with it. So I am privileged to be here today. I thank you for allowing me to preach this morning. Maybe you're going to get some of you are second servicers. I'll preach then. It's my privilege also to tell you a little bit about Lighthouse and the awesome things God, the Holy Spirit, is doing through the Word and through our staff, and how it's impacting young people throughout Central City, Milwaukee. Previous to this, me being here, how many of you have even heard of Lighthouse Youth Center? A few of you here or there. Oh, you came and volunteered there. That's not fair. You moved to California, so that works out. My goal today is to tell you just a little bit about myself, tell you a lot more about Lighthouse Youth Center, and tell you about some really cool things God the Holy Spirit is doing, and the partnership that we have as we proclaim the gospel to our neighborhoods, community, and the world. Why don't we go ahead and ask God's blessing and prayer on our talk this morning. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to be here in your house as you teach us your word, you share your truths, and you remind us that we indeed are forgiven, and now we are instruments of service and love to you as we live for you in everything we do, and we look forward to today. We'll spend an eternity with you in heaven as well. Today we celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit here in this community as well as in Milwaukee and around the world as your word impacts the lives of young people, changes their hearts, gives them hope, and gives them opportunity to live for you now and forever in heaven. Bless our time, our talk, and may we rejoice in your blessings each and every day. We ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, we'll start right now because I know the teens are here and I heard there was some mumbling and grumbling that you had to come to the big boy Bible class today. So I had promised that I would give at least one Pastor Schmidt story. And I have permission to give one. After that, then he retaliates with all of my bad history, so we're only going to give one, okay? Is that fair? Pastor Schmidt and I had the privilege to graduate together. We both are a little bit older than our classes because we took various timeouts, not because we were naughty, but just pursuing other opportunities. We were naughty, but we pursued other opportunities. I was at Whitewater, and he went teacher track before our amalgamation, and then pastor track happened, and we ended up being classmates, and I had to be friends with him because his dad was my Greek professor, and I was bad at Greek, so I needed to have an in to help my grades. And your dad would agree to that as well, too, so it was a pity vote that I got. But our senior year, because we were a little bit older, we got to live off campus. And at that time, was not very many people got to live off campus at Martin Luther College. And so we were kind of fifth-year seniors, so we were a little bit older, and we got to live off campus. And we had this little apartment, and it was in the basement of a house, and it was a two-bedroom, living room, small kitchen that four of us lived in. And it was myself and Pastor Schmidt and Nate Beege, he's a pastor down in Texas, and Pat Brown, he's in Wyoming? We'll just say Wyoming, I think that's where he's at. And the four of us were all a little bit older, we all lived together. And what we decided to do, we're going to be very studious. So we made one room into our office, which never got used, and then another bedroom we turned into where we all slept, and we had two bunk beds, okay? And I had these bunk beds from when I was a kid, which were these big wood sturdy things, and Pat Brown and I had these, and we called ourselves Big Bunk. And then Pastor Schmidt and Pastor Beege had these like army cots stacked on top of each other that when the wind blew, they shook, and we called them Little Bunk. And we had a lot of fun playing Big Bunk and Little Bunk where we would sleep, you know, we had a lot of competitions against each other. And one of our favorite things to do when everyone would get done with their studies or we get back from work, because we all work different places, we'd come back and we would spend a little time playing Atari bowling. You guys know Atari is like the second video game ever created right after Pong, so it's that bad, okay? But we played Atari bowling because I had the Atari from when I was like 5 years old, and I brought it to the college because we were going retro and we were cool. And so we'd get back from work and we would have a bedtime beverage and play Atari bowling, big bunk versus little bunk. And Pat Brown and I, we were good at bowling. Big bunk was good. And we won like 9 out of 10 every time, and Pastor Schmidt, he would go to bed angry because he lost in Atari bowling. So sometimes he would come home, and this really isn't a second story, but it's combined with the same one. He came home from work, we're getting ready for bedtime beverage as well as bedtime bowling. And he comes into our room, and he has a stuffed animal named Woofy. Have you guys ever heard of Woofy before? I heard that he still got it in his house yet as well. Well, us being naughty 23-year-olds, one night when he got home from work after cleaning at Kraft Foods, I think we got home like at 11 o'clock, and he went into the bedroom, and Woofy was hanging from the ceiling fan with a noose around his neck. An all-out war broke out as the four of us wrestled, and it was just so much fun. So that is the one Woofy story that I will give. We are at truce right now, okay? Okay. Call it what it is. It is a little animal with stuffing inside of it. You guys can continue that conversation later. But we had the privilege of being friends. We graduated the seminary at the same time. Jason stood up in my wedding. I stood up in his. We've been longtime friends. And it's just wonderful that he was able to bring me out because we haven't seen each other for a long time. And the beautiful thing about our schooling and our synod and the relationships that we build is that we don't even see each other for 4 or 5 years. It's like we just saw each other yesterday, and we just pick up like it just happened. And I searched for Woofy to take care of him, but I couldn't find him. So I really thank you for this opportunity to come out here and share God's word and tell you a little bit about Lighthouse. I know that I only have a short period of time. Yesterday they gave me like an hour and a half, and I have like 9 hours of material for you. So I will do my best to give you a couple of the highlights. Lighthouse Youth Center, those are actually pictures of the neighborhood kids around our facility. Lighthouse Youth Center is located on the northwest corner of Milwaukee, 68th and Silver Spring. Basically, we run our program out of a Christian day school. Redemption Lutheran Church is located there, and they closed their school in right around 2000. What happened with this congregation was in the 1950s, they built their church in the middle of nowhere, kind of like I heard the history of this one. There was nothing around here when you guys used to leave church. I heard there was cows that you used to look at. Obviously, things have changed as there's malls and roads and all this other stuff. That's what happened around Redemption. They built a church in the middle of nowhere. People made fun of them, saying, Milwaukee will never be that big. And if you've ever been to Milwaukee and where this location is, the city extends another 5 miles in each direction. Church booms. Church just booms in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. German immigrants are moving to Milwaukee to work in some of the blue-collar jobs. And what are they looking for? They're looking for a German Lutheran church. And their church just booms, and they start a school. In the 1970s, they have 125 kids in their school, filled to capacity, 30 kids in the classroom. Things are looking really great. But then the mentality changes, where everyone moves out to the burbs for the bigger school, the bigger house, the white picket fence, and the neighborhood changes overnight. Land became very cheap, and the African-American population moved in. And what happened was the congregation no longer represented what their neighborhood looked like. They may have tried, maybe they didn't try, maybe they're scared, maybe they failed, who knows what happened. But what happened was in the span of about a decade, about 12 years, their congregation went from 800 members down to 200 members. Because that many people were moving out. And they weren't reaching out to their new neighbors. And it was a really sad time because in the process they were forced to close their school. And you know how we love our Christian day schools. They are a true blessing, but when it was shrinking that bad, their school went from 125 down to, like, I think 38 was when they finally closed the doors. They had to make a tough decision. And for the first 50 years, they had three pastors that basically served 16, 17, 18 years. And when all this stuff went down, they had a young pastor from the seminary that helped guide them through this process of cleaning up their books and seeing who actually is a member and who actually wants to stick around and work in this neighborhood. And, you know, making this tough decision with the school, were they going to go into the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program that Wisconsin has, where there's choice vouchers for private schools to open up to neighborhood kids? They decided that was too new, too scary. They didn't want to do that. And by doing that, they kind of sealed their death wish on their school. Their school closed. Shortly after that, This young pastor who had spent 5 years there, his name is Rob Wendland, took a call back to Malawi, Africa, where he grew up as a missionary's kid and currently still serves there as a missionary. Congregation's down in the dumps. They just assume that, well, we'll call a pastor from the seminary and every 3 or 4 years he'll move on to bigger and greener pastures and eventually we'll all die and go to heaven. Kind of a bleak outlook for a congregation. Very spiritual, always focusing on heaven, but God's given us something to do along the way. And they called a young man by the name Christian Winkle, was actually a year behind Pastor Schmidt and myself. He vicared or interned at St. Marcus in downtown Milwaukee and saw how Pastor Jeske in Central City, Milwaukee blended multiple cultures together into one worship service and facility. And he, with the help of God's word, said, hey, redemption, let's figure out why we have a pulse in this neighborhood. And they really kind of organized and see who was really going to be the players to help reach out to the community. But they still didn't know how they were going to use this 4,000 square foot school that was attached to their building. To make a long story short, they started listening to their neighbors. And they found out that their neighbors were mostly African-American, single women with multiple children who were moving to this neighborhood because it was a safer neighborhood than other Milwaukee neighborhoods. But in order to move to this neighborhood, it was much more expensive. Basically, it's a lot more ranch and duplexes in this neighborhood versus living in apartments. But in order to move to this neighborhood, the mommy had to work 2 full-time minimum wage jobs in order to make ends meet. So she's working from 6 in the morning till 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. She knows where her kids are during the daytime, but she's scared to death what happens after school. She's not thrilled with the Milwaukee public school system because they graduate less than 50% of their graduations. Right now, it serves 23% of African-American boys graduate high school, with 57% of girls graduating, and with that graduation rate floating between 46 and 47%. She's not thrilled what's happening in school, but at least she knows where her kids are. All of the moms in the neighborhood are poverty level or below, but their kids are in that tweener stage. They're too old to really be at daycare and too young to be actually taking care of themselves. So what does she do? Even though she's at poverty level or below, trying to make ends meet, she gives each of her kids $2 and says, go down to the gas station, or, you know, get yourself a snack after school. So what do? They go down to the gas station, they go down to the Quickie Mart, and they buy 3 bags of Flamin' Hot Cheetos and 2 Mountain Dews, and by 4:15 their money's gone and the food's gone, and they have 3 hours before mama's going to get home, and that's when problems occur. Redemption hears this and says, hey, why don't we do something to provide a safe place for kids to gather? Thus, the idea was born. Redemption itself started doing the planning, but realized that this was too big a project for them as a congregation. As one little lady hugged me on my installation day, she said, we are too old, too white, and too poor to make it happen. We're glad you're here. I'm like, thanks for the pep talk. What happened was Pastor Winkle had went to Synod at that time and said, hey, we have this idea. Would Synod be willing to help us out? But this was 8, 9, 10 years ago, and our Synod was going through some of our financial crunch as well. And they basically said, you know what, we give you our blessing. We can't help you fund it, but, you know, we're going to support you. And then what happens is Pastor Winkle then goes to Wells Kingdom Workers, and Wells Kingdom Workers says, we would love to help give you guys a push to start. But in order to do that, we would love for you guys, and I think it's your best interest, to form your own nonprofit organization, your own 501c3 organization, so that you can continue to fundraise and bring in the dollars. You can be a separate entity, and this separate entity can walk both in the civic world and walk in the religious world, and you can really impact kids and neighborhoods for years to come. Made a lot of sense. But Pastor Winkle put together a board of directors, 7 men from 5 congregations in Milwaukee, and for a year and a half, they met every other Saturday and did the planning of this nonprofit and filed all the paperwork and got all the stuff okay with the state of Wisconsin and tried to find some additional dollars to make this thing go. At the same time, Redemption Lutheran Church, blue-collar workers, just a few of them left, they gutted out their old school and turned it into this absolutely beautiful after-school program. Hardwood floors, wide open spaces, big screen TVs, you know, it is still top-notch yet. In the process, they found about $60,000 at that time, and at that time, they're pretty excited that they have $60,000, and they call their first executive director, and it happened to be me. And after kind of deliberating the call and God calming a few of my fears, especially around the finance piece of it, God had delivered, while I was holding the call, a one-time grant from Thrivent Financial for Lutherans for $80,000 for a peer mentorship program, and thus they began the relationship with Lakeside Lutheran High School, which we still continue to this day, my alma mater, where they come down and volunteer. They got out of their semester exam test in order to come volunteer, and they get some real life experience in how to share their faith and in a different culture, just a world away, but only an hour away. So this partnership starts, and we know a $124,000 budget is passed. We have $124,000 in the budget. Things are looking good. I accept the call. I spend all the time making sure that we're ready to go, and we start developing a program based on kids and focusing on kids, about sharing our faith, but providing two very important pieces, safety and respect. And it was only by God that, you know, it made sense to me. I didn't have any logic or, you know, schooling and all this different things, but it just made sense to me. And we created an opportunity for a facility that had ownership for young people. And that's what I want to tell you about today. Before I get into that, just want to put a little plug out for my family. So my wife, Terry, is a teacher. We got married in 1998. We celebrated our 15th anniversary. She is a teacher at St. John's in Wauwatosa, and she teaches first grade. I have been blessed with four children. Zoe is 10, going on 17. Micah is 8, going on grounded. Anastasia, any one of you can have her right now. And no, seriously, I will mail her out here, and she'll be great. No, she got both the best and the worst of Terry and I all combined together, and when it rears its ugly head, it is awesome or frustrating. Depends on what it is, and we just have to deal with it. And then there's Judah. The final one, he is 2 years old, and he just stands and watches all the chaos around him, and he just is cute. That's what he's got going for him. Our mission is to be a beacon for Christ for the youth of the community. We provide the safety and structure for young people to gather, have some fun, and get help with their homework. We have really created ownership inside our facility by creating a character contract. Our young people, when they come into our facility, sign a contract. They all know what the repo man does. Mama doesn't pay her bills, that car is gone. Okay, I become the repo man, or my staff becomes the repo man. You don't follow the rules of Lighthouse. Those glass doors are the biggest preaching of law, you know, that's going to be you can't come inside this facility. It's only for those who are going to follow the rules and obey our contract. The students wrote the contract. The first couple nights of Lighthouse Youth Center, you know, there's two big words, safety and respect. They wrote about safety. They wrote about respect. Everyone wanted it. Everyone needed it. They don't know how to get it. So, okay, week 4, let's write the rules of Lighthouse so that it's a safe, structured place for you to gather. They wrote all the rules. I got to use their lingo. I knew what all the rules were going to be. The contract was already done, but I got to put some of their lingo into it, and this became their living contract. Every one of them fills in a registration form. They get in to come into Lighthouse free the first time, so to speak, and then they have to, if they want to come back a second time, they have to bring a medical form with basic information about them, contact information. We also ask for church, home, and if they've been baptized. On the back side of it is the medical piece. After they come back a second time, we actually have another student walk them around the facility, explain the entire rules. We give them this character contract. They sign it on the spot. They go make sure that mommy signs it. They bring that back. That becomes our document of agreement inside of our facility. It's actually just absolutely wonderful. I didn't even know all the blessings that it would actually bring. But when we have to discipline a kid because they've misbehaved, who are they really mad with? Me or the document? Someone does something wrong, I'm like, well, I'm just here to enforce your rules. These are your rules. And they're like, ugh. Okay? And if it continues down that road, you know, if they're, you know, they're really mad at me or my staff members giving us a hard time, I just pull out the document and say, whose signature is that on the bottom? Mine. And then we go through the consequences, and then they have to leave. What's really neat is that, you know, as we present law and gospel to these young people, and we're super strict and super structured, but at the same time loving and accepting that they do something wrong, they get kicked out, they have a 5-day before they can come back into our facility, and the next day they come back with their head held real low. I mean, they left angry, but they came back with their head real low and say, Pastor Buskey, I'm sorry. We walk through why they're sorry. You know, they have to be specific, not just, sorry, can I get back in? But why are you actually sorry? And then I say, I forgive you, and more importantly, Jesus forgives you. And then we hug it out, and everything is good. And that's in the past, and they just say, can I come into Lighthouse now? And I say, no, for the most part. I get soft once in a while. But there's consequences, right? You still did this. We're going to hold you to this consequence. We'll see you next Tuesday. And they walk away frustrated and happy at the same time. And they come back in 5 days, and when we meet them at the door, the past is a past. Clean slate. Make sure everything's positive. You going to have a good day this week? Yep. Yep. We move on. What I want to show you right now is a quick little video, just 3 minutes long, about what a day at Lighthouse actually looks like. We just had our major benefit dinner. It's one of our major fundraising pieces. We had record attendance. We had a room of 300. That was the maximum we could have. We had 326 guests. So it was just elbow to elbow. It was wonderful. And we were able to generate some serious money. This one event covers about a sixth of what we need in order to support our organization. So at this event, everyone always kind of asks us, you know, hey, what's an actual day at Lighthouse look like? Because the people that come to this event, you know, some of them are related to me, so they've heard the story all the time. And then some of them are like friends of our board of directors who are coming for the very first time. And you don't want to bore the people that have been there, but at the same time, you want to educate those who are brand new. So we try to do both inside this little video. And you're going to be introduced to Mark Gunderson, one of my staff members.
Lighthouse provides a safe place for kids to hang out. They can be in a positive environment. They're surrounded by positive people who are encouraging them to make good decisions in life. One of the other cool things about Lighthouse is that it connects kids to each other. And so a lot of neighborhood kids get to know each other, where before there might have been a lot of apprehension about those other youth when they're in the positive atmosphere and culture of Lighthouse. They get to know each other and know that these kids are just like them, and they're able to get along. And when they're outside of Lighthouse, then they build those relationships there as well. So it really builds a positive environment all around for the youth. And then as they grow up and go to school, get jobs, start families, really helps communities turn around.
Lighthouse grows communities by investing in the young people. These young people that come into these doors are our future. And around both the neighborhoods where we serve these campuses, there are 3,500 kids between the age of 10 and 18. And we want to invest in these communities and grow these communities by allowing these young people to be plugged back into their communities, to build those relationships with strategic community partners, because someday these young people will be our leaders, will be our workers, and those who are serving us.
My favorite thing is I get to share Jesus with them, to remind them every single day that God loves them. They get to hear countless different ways to know that God indeed cares for them and loves them, and that's really their ultimate hope, that's really their ultimate future, knowing that they're going to be in heaven.
Another way that we inspire Lighthouse kids is just by providing them with opportunities. Opportunities to come to Lighthouse, to hang out, to be safe, and to have a structured place and an ability to grow. But we can also inspire kids as we take them places. The future of Lighthouse Youth Center looks really bright. Our board of directors have really dug down and said, we have something good. We can't just keep this to one neighborhood. So we expanded to a second neighborhood. We're in the process of learning from our bumps and bruises of opening our second facility and looking how we can open third, fourth, and fifth community centers right here in Milwaukee, expanding our services on our current sites, as well as looking at how we take this model and expand to even additional communities outside of Milwaukee. Maybe that's Minneapolis or Toledo or San Antonio, and providing this model of love and respect for young people to do some more community goodwill.
Thank you, Lighthouse Youth Center, for helping me grow.
Thank you, Lighthouse Youth Center.
Thank you, Lighthouse.
Thank you, Lighthouse.
That kind of breaks up what a day at Lighthouse actually looks like. Very structured, young people love and desire structure, but for the most part, their family unit has not given them those pieces. And we provide it, and at first it's very difficult for the young people that come in to accept and understand that, but after they get accustomed to, hey, it's the same every day, they just fall in love with it. We do very little announcements about where kids need to be at a certain time. It's not my job to herd cats. Your job is to be where you need to be at the same time. Your boss isn't going to call you and tell you you need to be there at a certain time. You just need to be there. We try to teach a number of these life skills. We open our doors roughly between 3 and 3:30. Usually it's always been 3:30, but this year one of the neighborhood schools gets out at 2:30 already, so now there's just kids standing around. So we do kind of a soft opening. We let kids come in at 3 o'clock, and we usually give them some form of project around our place to go in the garden and weed, or you know, take out the recyclables and, hey, I need stamps and all these letters, you know, fun stuff like that, one-on-one opportunities. We open our doors at 3:30. We do backpack checks, not for guns or weapons, but make sure that they have reading and homework, stuff in there. We have an hour of homework time. It's mandatory homework. You don't bring something along from school, you're not getting in. We don't play that game, well, can't you just give me something? Can I do some worksheets? No. I want to help you where you're at right now. And if you don't have any homework, bring something that you did get done, and we'll help you. We'll make sure that you get straight A's. And it's so cool when they fight you, and they fight you, and they fight you the first few times, and then they all of a sudden they see the rewards when they bring their GPA back, and they went from a 2.4 to a 3.1, and their big smiles on their face, like, hey, this ain't so bad after all. And like, hey, I'm not the mean guy anymore. Okay, good, we're on the same page. But from 3:30 to 4:30 is this free time piece. All of my staff and volunteers greet the students with a handshake and eye contact. That's what we expect from our young people. If they don't know someone, they need to go around and introduce themselves. As a volunteer, for the most part, they need to thank that person for giving up their time to provide this space for them. We really set this culture. Not only do we make sure that they give a handshake and an eye contact, but I also teach them to give a little squeeze when you do the handshake too, because they're all going to be fighting for the same job someday. You got to make sure that you stand out a little bit different. There's going to be 200 kids applying for the McDonald's job. If you make eye contact and squeeze and do a nice little firm handshake, you're going to stand out. So I try to give them little tips like that. And then for the next hour, they just get to unwind and be kids. Pool, air hockey, foosball, video games, computers. All the boys get there early because they go to Facebook right away. And then they're too cool when the girls get there to go on Facebook. And then because they have to get on Facebook first, because once the girls come, you'll never see a computer again. And that's kind of what we got going on. The boys are playing video games. The girls are, playing board games with the Lighthouse volunteers and staff. They're getting a snack from our canteen. We have basically, it looks like a mini gas station in our place where they can buy junk food and just be kids. At 4:30, they're in their seats with their homework out, ready to go. No reminders. We still have a couple big kids that'll just yell, homework, 2 minutes! But it's not us doing it. That's fine if they want to police themselves. And then at 4:30, we do a warm-up. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I am not. It just re-engage their brain into doing our homework. They do 45 minutes of quiet study. At the end of quiet study, we basically do the question of the day. 5:30 comes around, every book slams together just like it was at school. Everyone's all excited. And what we do is we do this little sentence starter, because right after that, we go into devotion. And I don't want to tie our homework time to our spiritual time. I want to transition there. I don't want, hey, this is academic. I don't want this just to become academic. I want this to be life. So we do this little transition. And we'll start a sentence. We'll repeat it 3 times. We have all these rules. You can't raise your hand until we repeat it 3 times, because everyone's like, and then they don't even listen to the sentence. And then they're like, what was the sentence again? So you listen to it 3 times. After the 3rd time, you can raise your hand. You need to finish the sentence and give us the reason why. It teaches our young people to be able to communicate in front of their peer group and make sure that there's a subject and a predicate in there, make sure there's a noun and a verb, and there's no slang, and there's coherent thoughts, and it's for job interviewing skills. And it gives us tremendous insight into the lives of these young people, especially for our volunteers, who right after devotion time, that's some of the best time to build the relationships and be that support that these young people are looking for. I shared it yesterday. It's my favorite one of all time. The question was, if I was stranded on a desert island, I would bring, and I didn't even get through the first one, and boom, every hand went up, every boy. I'm like, oh boy. What scantily clothed girl is going to be on this island? Is it Beyonce or Ashanti or, some other famous singer that's wearing too little? And, there's all this bouncing out of their seats, and finally I call in Dontrell. Dontrell is 10 years old, and he'll be in one of the videos I show you later. He's been here 3 days a week, every week, for the last 7 years. He's just grown into this young man. It's amazing. So he's 10 years old. Okay, Dontrell, you're young, keep it clean, go. Pastor Buskey, if I was stranded on a desert island for the rest of my life, I'd bring LeBron James. And everyone starts clapping for him. All the boys are bringing LeBron James. I'm like, phew, avoided that. They were much more sanctified than I was afraid where this question was gonna go all of a sudden. I had one of those panic attack moments. Dontrell, why are you gonna bring LeBron James? Well, Pastor Buskey, he's got enough money to buy a helicopter and get me off that island. Dontrell, do you know what the word stranded means? Nope. I guess little black kids in the hood don't watch. That was right in the middle of when Lost was going on, and he didn't know what stranded meant at all. So, Dontrell, stranded means that you're never getting off that island. You're there forever. And the kid, quick as a whip. Well, at least I get a mean game of basketball every day. just love this kid to pieces. So every one of the other boys goes and tells me why they want to bring LeBron James, Cleveland All-Star at that time, along onto Desert Island. And that's at that point that one of the girls, I'm kind of leaning up against our canteen, and one of the girls right behind me raises her hand, and her name is Daphne. Daphne is from the most meager family that I've ever ministered to in my entire life. I don't know what poverty is like in third world countries. I haven't been there, but this family is poor. And mom, just to put it real bluntly, mom was 37 years old, has 8 kids at the time I met them. The kids were 23 through 15 at that time. So you do the math, mom started having babies at age 14 and didn't stop for the next 9 years. All 8 kids, mom and 2 grandbabies, all lived at the end of the street in a 600 square foot apartment, 2-bedroom apartment. And one of the first things that I had to do was help them get their heat turned back on because the power company had turned their electric off. And they were heating their house with their stove, which never really ends up too good in the state of Wisconsin. They're studying, they got 4 kids in high school and they're all studying by candlelight, that's bad. And going into this home and they got nothing. That being said, this little girl falls in love with Lighthouse. And because it's some place where she provides hope. I remember seeing the Watkins family, they're one of my favorite families, it was because they were early on, but I have the same truck, same blue Trailblazer, and I always take the same route, and I know when they walk to school, so I make sure I leave my house at the same time so I can see them. And they just, I mean, this is the epitome of what happens in Central City. They just walk to school with their head down, hoodies up, just sullen. They'll see my blue trunk, I'll honk, I'll just go, you know, wave, and they'll start waving back, and they just love it. And then as soon as I'm gone, you see the hoodies go back up, and they go back to the real world. This little girl believes in hope for the very first time. She had no hope in real, you know, in her real life before she met Jesus, and now she has hope. That being said, we're back to our stranded on our desert island. She raises her hand and says, Pastor Buskey, does it have to be someone, or can it be something? Like, oh, I just averted this disaster over here. Where in the world is this one going now? Daphne, you're 17. You've been part of our program for 6 months. I'm going to give you this much leeway. Pastor Buskey, if I was stranded on a desert island for the rest of my life, I'd want to bring my Bible. And what do? Brown noser. And then all the kids laugh, and I apologize to her and apologize to the kids for me being spiritually immature. I'm just a big kid, I'm sorry. And I said, Daphne, why would you want to bring your Bible? Well, Pastor Buskey, if I was stranded on a desert island for the rest of my life and I was going to die there, I'd want to be as close to Jesus as possible. It was at that point that I saw like 15 or 16 kids who, if you saw at the mall, you'd make sure that your wallet was still there, hold your purse just a little bit closer because they look a little bit rough, all of a sudden start clapping their hands for this girl's beautiful testimony. And that's when I realized the power of a testimony in black culture as well as in Central City. On the day of a kid's baptism, they actually get to write about what their faith is. We give them 3 questions, they write about it, they get baptized, and after the service is done, they write about what their faith means. I have one included today, the new piece for the ladies that were here yesterday, okay? So that's a little bit about our program. If you were in first service or you're going to be in second service, just remember the name Mario. That's Mario right there. He's my tank, my bodyguard. Mario right now is 24 years old. He came to Lighthouse every day for the 5 years or 3-4 years that he was available. He's graduated from high school. He works full time. He's taking classes at MATC to work in culinary arts. You can't love food unless when you're that big. So he's actually lost a ton of weight. He's probably lighter than I am now. He actually rents a house from the church. He's in church every Sunday. He brings his family. He has a little sister who had a baby outside of wedlock. He makes sure that she's there and the baby's there. He teaches Sunday school, and he volunteers 2 nights a week at our other facility. Just a stud young man. What we do at Lighthouse is we are the pre-evangelism tool of the church. The best place to take care of a kid's soul is not in a youth program, it's in a church, and that's what our job is. We are to shamelessly plug Redemption Lutheran Church, to shamelessly plug Garden Homes Lutheran Church, where our second campus is. The entire time, we are reaching out to the community and plugging into the community in ways that, for the most part, churches can't. I could call the captain of the 4th precinct in Milwaukee or the 5th precinct right now, and he would address me as Pastor Buskey. That's pretty cool. I work with them on a regular basis. I can work with community block watches. I can work with businesses. They're looking for, they can walk in, hey, Pastor, thanks for all your work. Sheriff David Clark in Milwaukee is kind of the outspoken sheriff in Milwaukee. He loves us. He absolutely loves us. I mean, on the 4th of July parade this past year, he just yells, hey, Pastor Buskey, keep up the good work at Lighthouse. And with a couple other friends, like, how in the world does he know you? We work really hard. We gather all these partnerships. We work in the community, working with kids, sharing Jesus, and pushing them and their families towards church. And that is the model that our board of directors wants to duplicate at more campuses in Milwaukee and more campuses in our nation. I mean, just think of the impact that there's hurting young people everywhere, and that's what we want to be able to provide. It could happen right here. It can happen in little Exonia, Wisconsin, where I grew up, or it can happen in Central City, Milwaukee. And that's where our board of directors wants to go, to provide a tool to congregations to do outreach to young people and just make tons of crossroads into the community and into families. What I want to do right now is I want to just, I only got a little bit of time. What time do we got here? 3 minutes? This would be perfect. What I'm going to do right now is at another piece at our benefit dinner, we do a quick little three-minute video on the year in the life of Lighthouse. We work really hard at, trying to put together really quickly what kids experience throughout the entire year. And they experience homework every day, but homework pictures are boring. So this is a lot of our reward trips that we go on and special things if our students work hard to go on. Let me show you this three-minute video, and then I'll answer a few questions. And am I done at 10:15 or 10:30? Oh! This is great. I got more. You should have told me 10:15 because I was still going to take the 10:30 anyways, so. I'm sorry. Also, I realized it was 10:45, I think. Come on, Blue. I'm hitting the button. Why ain't it working? Oh, I'm hitting the wrong button. Let's hit this button right here.
Dream to belong
that's kind of like a year snapshot at what happens at Lighthouse. For many of those pictures in there, those are kids' first time being in a boat, first time seeing downtown Milwaukee, first time being on the Milwaukee River, first time being at a pumpkin farm and carrying a pumpkin that's bigger. And I have friends that own this greenhouse. They were my basketball coaches in grade school, and that's the reward trip. That's actually this coming Wednesday. We take 16 students to a pumpkin patch that two of my basketball coaches from grade school own, and the rule is you can take whatever pumpkin you want as long as you can carry it. And kids are like, rah! You know, you would think some of these events are just corny for 15, 16, or 17-year-olds, but they've never done this before, and they just find complete joy in it. And then we go over to my mom and dad's house, and my kids, my own flesh and blood, request stuffed shells, and then all the Lighthouse kids are like, oh, this is the biggest house. It's like a little ranch house in Exonia, and that's the best meal ever. That's home cooking. My mama, she's a good cook. And, you know, it's just a wonderful experience about relationships, and that's what Lighthouse is about. Ladies that were here yesterday, any stories that you want your spouses to hear? Anyone that you want? This is your request time. Otherwise, I'm just going to go through a couple of them. Go ahead. Cabin, Wisconsin, one that's a classic. So here's just a little bit about our facility. This is our first facility. You know, you can kind of see tables and chairs. There's the canteen, video game. Here's some of our homework time that were there set up. We basically have one adult for every four students is our goal during homework time in our facility. We want to have one adult for every 6 to 8 students, though. We go on reward trips. I'll come back to that one. That's one of my favorites. But this is up to our cottage. So you saw three of those boys standing in front of the big waterfall. We go up to my family's cottage. It's blessed to have one in northern Wisconsin. And one of the things that we have is a big bulletin board at Lighthouse, which is called the Mental Floss Bulletin Board. It's basically a trivia contest, but it's not real trivia, it's more logic-based. So a question goes up on Monday, and the kids have, there's a little answer sheet, so they get put in a little box, and then they get to answer the question. If they get the answer correct on Thursday, they can answer it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they can ask our staff any questions about it. On Thursday, Mrs. Munt pulls it out, reads out the correct answers. If you get a correct answer, on Friday you come back and there's a sticker on your sticker chart. You wouldn't think stickers are that big a deal, but stickers are still, the star is wonderful at whatever age. There's 35 weeks in a school year. We want to teach our children not just to live for the here and now, but to start doing long-range planning. So this is one of those, not instant gratification things, this is a delayed gratification thing. It's something that you have to work for. And there's 5 rewards along the way, and the last one is to go up to my family's cottage. It's 250 miles to our family's cottage. You need to have 25 stars in order to get there, 10 miles for each correct answer. Some kids, they're like, hey, I got 19 answers. Well, I'll drop you off in Anago and you can walk the last 60 miles. No one's ever taken me up on that, so you got to get all the way to the end. And it's usually between 3 or 4, 5, 6 boys. I don't know why the girls don't do it. They get all the way up to 20, and then all of a sudden they just stop. Maybe they're scared of up north. But we take these boys up there, and it's just this awesome one-on-one time. And I get to share this beautiful facility that God has blessed my family with, and I get to have some fun with these kids. And all kinds of different boys have got to go up there, and there's just so many stories from when the first year we took them up there. There was 2 Hmong boys that were in the pictures. Their older siblings were the first ones that went there. And I remember walking out on our pier in the middle of the night. We had just got there. They threw all their bags in the house, and Corey looks up at the sky and says, oh, Pastor Buskey, I've never seen this many stars before in my life. And I used it as a teachable moment and said, yeah, doesn't that bring new meaning to when God told Abraham to look up in the sky and he just saw billions of stars, and those were going to be his blessings someday. And how Galatians chapter 4 talks about how through faith, no matter what, if you're male or female, whatever your skin color is, no matter if you have faith in Jesus, you're one of those blessings that was promised to Abraham. And you got to tell each of these 2 little Hmong kids and the 2 little black kids that you are a blessing because Jesus lives in your heart. And that was at that point that John just looks up at me and says, yeah, when you taught us that story, I always thought, how blessed can the guy be? In Milwaukee, I see like 9 stars. You know, so just cool stories like that, and you have a great time. We usually do some fishing up there. We do some geocaching, and we do a lot of eating, and then we'll go tubing once in a while, and they've never been in a boat or a tube, and they're like, and most of them can't swim, so then I pray a lot, and it just is a fun time. Monopoly's big, you know, but we went last year on Memorial Day, and the mosquitoes were really bad, so fishing wasn't as big, and sitting outside wasn't as big. And I just remember we went to Bond Falls up in the UP. That's a beautiful waterfall. We come back, and I ask any of the lighthouse students if they want to go fishing. And most of them said no. And then, of course, my four little offspring are all, yeah, let's go fishing. And I have to break their heart and say, this isn't about you this time. This is about them. And they're crying. And, you know, the lighthouse kids don't want to do what I want to do, so I'm crying. And it's just, you're just like, ah, this is all worth it. And I was really second-guessing because you can't keep everyone happy. And that's one of my flaws. I want everyone to be happy and have fun, and we're going to do it. And, you know, no one's, it's just kind of tense. And finally, Johnny Hudson says, Pastor Buskey, I don't want to go fishing, but would you, can we just go for a boat ride? Like, fishing, I want to go fishing. And I'm like, yeah, let's go for a boat ride. And he goes down there, and Jacob comes along, and he puts on his little life jacket. And then we go out, and as we're pulling off the dock, all of a sudden Johnny Hudson says, Pastor Buskey, can we just go park in the middle of the lake? I'm like, this is getting weirder as we talk. So I get to the middle of the lake, turn the boat off. After we're done moving and drifting, because he's scared yet, we stop, and he takes his video camera, or his cell phone, and just goes like this. And videotapes the entire lake. He sends that to his family and posts it on Facebook. And we go around and we take a look at all the different houses along there, and they're asking, how much does that one cost? How much does that one cost? Translation, how much does yours cost? You know, and you know, they're trying to fish for that. I talk about hard work, and you know, God's blessed us, and we look forward to sharing that. And there's a really cool history on the lake that we're in, northern Wisconsin. Al Capone's accountant was on our lake, and there's lots of really cool folklore that goes along with that. I don't know if any of it's true, but we make sure we tell all those stories, and it just was great. We get back, and at that time, my dad and my wife had made a fire, and Mr. Gunderson and my kids are grilling out s'mores with the other two lighthouse kids, and we sit down, we do s'mores, and then my wife takes my kids into bed, and then my dad decides to fall asleep in the chair right there because that's his bed, and you know, three of the lighthouse students go inside to play Monopoly. Johnny Hudson stays behind. The other three had been to the cottage before, but this was Johnny's first time. And all of a sudden, I'm on the other side of the fire, and I hear crying. Like, this kid's 17 years old. He's tough as nails. Why is he crying? And I finally elbow my dad, and, Dad, go to bed. Yeah, I should. Oh, you should go talk to Johnny, too. I'm like, good thinking. I never would have thought of that, Dad. And so he goes into the house, and Mr. Gunderson goes and calls his wife, and I pick up my chair, and I put it right next to Johnny, and I say, put my arm around him, like, Johnny, what's wrong? And he's just crying. He starts crying harder. I mean, are you homesick? No. Are you sick? Did I cook something bad? No. Well, then what's wrong? And he just starts crying harder. I'm like, this is not going the way it's supposed to. And it probably takes him, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to compose himself. It felt like 3 hours. And it's the most picturesque moment because I was feeling all down because I'm like, why am I, this is just too much work. This is just too frustrating. I'm never doing this trip again because I can't keep everyone happy. And all of a sudden, the fire's going. It's pitch black. He turns at me with his just beautiful black cheeks. They're glowing with the red. He's got these big tears coming down his cheeks. And he says, I thank God for Lighthouse Youth Center. And I don't even have to ask why. He says, I thank God because I would have never seen this many stars before. I would have never seen this many trees before. There are a lot of trees up here. He's like, I've never seen this part of town before. I'm like, this part of town? You were in a different state for part of the day today. You were in the UP. And he's like, it was the first time I ever touched a fish. I've only been fishing one other time. My grandpa took me fishing when I was a little boy, and I think I caught one fish. And you took the first one off, and you made me take the second one off. I've never touched a fish. I'm like, oh, my kids have that rule. You have to have that same rule, too. It's like, it was the first time I was ever in a boat. My daddy told me not to go in the boat. I'm like, am I in trouble with your daddy? And he just says, no, my dad doesn't like doing things that he's never done. If he's scared of them, then I have to be scared of them. And I thank God for this opportunity to try different things. If it wasn't for Lighthouse, I wouldn't know about Jesus. If it wasn't for Lighthouse, I wouldn't be this, you know, achieving at school. If it wasn't for Lighthouse, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And finally he says, you know what? I shouldn't even be at Lighthouse. And that's what I thank God about. I don't even live close to Lighthouse. The only reason I came to Lighthouse is because my uncle was dating Tyvon and Simone's sister, and they were coming to Lighthouse, and they said, why don't you come along to Lighthouse? And I came. It takes him 1 hour and 10 minutes one way on bus in order to get to our facility. He lives like 3 miles away, but that's how long it takes to get the buses there. I thank God for this facility. Here's a young man that dropped out of high school at the very end, got his GED. We helped him get that piece. He's working at the Iron Horse restaurant downtown, bussing tables. It's a hoity-toity place. He's moving up in the realms here. He stopped by like 2 weeks ago and just thanked Mr. Gunderson for helping him get his GED. kids in church. We get the 2 minutes. We get to walk in both these worlds. And that's what Lighthouse gets to do. Lighthouse is a after-school program that wants to continue to grow. We are not supported by any individual congregations. Our finances come through about 50% from grants and foundations and 50% from individuals and congregations and schools and gifts. If this is a ministry, I mean, I'd love for you to come and volunteer, but the airfare back and forth is really long and expensive, by the way. But maybe there's an opportunity for you to partner with Lighthouse with some of the gifts that God's blessed you with financially and keep us, this program, going. I do have in the back of church, there's a little sign-up sheet if you do want to hear more about Lighthouse through an e-newsletter that comes out every other month, or we do quarterly mailings giving you updates on Lighthouse. We have an awesome Facebook page that we post to once a month. We have kids' quotes and videos. We did have a break-in just recently, and we were blasted all over the news, and we got just tons and tons of press. It was awful going through it, but, you know, it's just really great. If you want to support this ministry, I would ask you to support it through your prayers. Pray for my staff. They're in the trenches in the middle of this. I got to tell you cute stories. There's just, the devil has such a stronghold on so many people, and we get to introduce Jesus, and that devil is right there, and he's trying to blow out their wick as fast as possible. But pray for my staff to have these opportunities. Pray for the Holy Spirit to take root in their hearts. Pray for these young kids. Pray that the devil stays away from them. And pray for, you know, supporters to keep this ministry going. We want to have as many of these as possible. And that's my goal. That's my dream, my vision for this organization. That's what the board wants to do. And thank you for this opportunity. And may God bless you as you share in this mission field as well. It's so easy to write a check and send it someplace else. And I would love for you to do that. But don't forget about your neighbors right here that need to know about Jesus. That's what Mission Festival is all about. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. Pastor Schmidt has a sign-up sheet as well as some brochures if you want to hear more about Lighthouse or get some more stats. Thank you, everyone. And I'll bring new stories to lunch as well today, okay? Oh, really? 14 minutes. Neat. So you've seen more poverty than I've ever seen in my life then. I mean,
yeah, sure. I know what it's like to be in the morning.
Yep.
You want to hear?
Hi there. Jim Buskey. Nice to meet you, Matt. I assume that there's going to be a connection here. I saw the chicken, but he does look like a bottle. Thank you.
Thank you very much.